Welcome to another special edition of Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. Special not because we're talking about, you know, the election or anything. We're talking about high school football playoffs deep now. What, we got six games this week with only a few teams remaining. We'll break it all down for you on the show and get to our picks. Prep Sports Now, presented by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. You can download Prep Sports Now on iTunes. If you would rather do that than listen on the site, please subscribe. We would appreciate it. And Brewer is in a celebratory mode today because Gorman versus Palo Verde is going to happen Friday evening.
Friday evening. And some people might say, well, Ray, you're the only one who thinks that Palo Gorman is such a big deal, and you're making too big of a deal. You're exaggerating like you sometimes do about Palo Gorman. And I'll say, just check my Twitter timeline from Friday night when I put that it's official. I got retweeted by probably 30 players, half and half from each team. Kids from Gorman are using the hashtag Palo Week. Everybody's talking about it. It sets attendance records every year. It, in my opinion, is the most significant game of the year, and everybody else is a second place by miles away. And just two elite programs, two coaches that are respected across the valley, great players, great environment. It's the game of all games.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're overreacting or don't think other people feel the same. I think a lot of people in this town feel the same. Go to Gorman and Palo especially. Just me personally, I don't care about this game as much as I have the last few years. I honestly just don't think it's going to be close. I don't think Palo is near as good as they have been ever since I've been here, and I think Gorman is pretty much on par with what they've been. So I think this is going to be pretty lopsided. I think everyone's getting excited for what's not going to be a very good game, but that's just me.
You hear that, Palo Nation? Case Kiefer says that because you guys have been ahead in the fourth quarter against Centennial, Liberty, and Arbor View and gave the game away late, that you're not as good as years past, and this game isn't going to be close.
Gave the game away late, they had against Arbor View.
An onside kick?
Yeah, and then they had a stupid personal foul that gave them 15 yards. They only had a safety the entire second half. How can you say they gave the game away against Liberty? Liberty totally outplayed them.
Except for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they gave up 1 5-minute stretch or so. They went crazy.
A long touchdown by Capelli on a dunk pass. Close to halftime, totally changed that game around. All I'm saying is you might be right. Palo is not as good as they were in years past. Rivalry game, Case, it doesn't matter.
We had a future bet where you took Palo plus 31, I think.
Plus 31. Listen, Palo Verde is the underdog. Likely they will lose, and likely it could be ugly. But I will say this, and making the argument for Palo keeping the game close, I think that 24, Ryan Bouye, might be – it could have some success. I think he could get into space. Gorman's defense has been questionable all season. Okay, they only had 10 turnovers going into the Shadow Ridge game where they had six turnovers, including four interceptions by Fertitta Jr. in the secondary. Now, I'm thinking that maybe – that Gorman had given up some points earlier in the year. Maybe Palo could exploit him and get some things. I don't know. I have a good question for you, but go ahead.
Really, my only thought is Palo needs to do a little bit more than just, you know, straight line up and run at the double wing at him. Like at the Arbor View game you talked about and I was at, they had some success. Let's be careful. We can hear everything you're doing right now.
I'm eating a Snickers. I'm hungry. What do
all
you
right.
want?
Against Arbor View, they had the most success when they were switching it up a little bit. They threw the ball a little bit early. They got Bouye some touches, and they went up big, 21-6 or whatever, right away. I think they got to do that against Palo. You can't just line up and run at this defense. I think you need to do some, I mean, I don't know, throw in some trick plays, throw the ball. You got to do a little bit of everything.
And I thought that's why Centennial enjoyed minor success or more success against Gorman than Arbor and Palo arguably had, because – you're not going to beat Gorman up front, and that's what you need to do with the double wing. So right now, Case, a lot of teams, college football, Green Valley, Coronado, they're running that quick offense, or the Denver Broncos. Get to the line real fast, then call out your play, or hike it, keep the other team's defensive personnel set. Do you like that, offense, or do you like what I would do against Gorman? And that's, I might get everybody the line real fast so they couldn't change their personnel, but I wouldn't hike the ball until the play clock was down to the end. And I know there's no play clock in high school football, but I would have a coach strictly in charge of the plays or in charge of the clock, and I'd wait until, you know, 39 seconds or whatever, 34 seconds. I don't know what the clock is for high school football. And then I would hike it right then and run the play. I would try to shorten the game up a little bit because I know I'm not going to be able just to line up and beat Gorman. I would have to try to take the air out of the ball, 5-6 minute drives.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart. I could see that. I could see it the other way, though, too. If you speed it up a lot, I'd probably be more willing to go your way. Since we're on this topic, we should probably talk about what Shadow Ridge decided to do against them.
I could not figure that.
Shadow Ridge went for it every single fourth down, no matter where they were. If it was fourth and 15 from the 5-yard line, they were going for it. They also kicked an onside kick every single time, no matter what. Yeah, I know people at Gorman were frustrated, and I know other people were frustrated, but I mean, Shadow Ridge had no chance to beat them. I don't know if I really blame them. On this show, I'm saying you got to try everything, no matter what. You got to go for it.
Throw the kitchen sink at them.
I guess Shadow Ridge did it. I mean, maybe I wouldn't take it to the extreme of going for it no matter what, wherever you are. But, I mean, they knew they weren't going to win. So I don't really blame them as much as maybe some other
people. Like a youth football game. Fourth and 18 from your 20. Let's roll the dice and see if we could get it. Because, you know, one time I covered a Meadows game when they were in the 2A playoffs against the Needles. First kickoff, the kid took it to the house. After that, everything was an onside kick because they just simply – they didn't have a kicker that could kick it to the end zone for a touchback, and they knew they couldn't contain the kick return. And maybe that's the strategy you use with Gorman. It's just field position kills you.
Your boy sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but no, I was going to say we should give a shout-out to your boy Bakari Smith. At least he scored twice against Gorman.
He did.
I believe, or at least in two long runs. It's a way to close out the year.
Yeah, and I think Bakari Smith has proven himself to be a good player this year. One of the rare calls I had in the beginning of the year, a player that actually panned out to be something. So Gorman Palo Case Friday night, the game we've kind of all been waiting for. We'll give our picks later in the show. However, not the only game in the Sunset Region, the Arborview Centennial rematch. You were there at the first one, and if I remember, Arborview kind of was just more physical and pushed Centennial around.
Yeah, Arborview just beat them up. Was so much better. Now I don't have the score in front of me.
I think it was 31-18.
31-18, that sounds right. And it was a lot worse than that. I always confuse Coronado and Centennial, the C schools. I always say I'm wrong. Centennial, and we'll get to talk about Coronado. They didn't have a first down until I think 2 minutes remained in the first half. The only reason they got one of their touchdowns is because Arborview fumbled at the one. I mean, Arborview really smacked them around and looked so much superior. And I know there's some bad feelings over at Centennial. They think they didn't show near their best, which I absolutely believe. That was the first time I'd seen them. So I told you, like, maybe they're just not that good because they looked helpless. But then I saw them against Gorman, of course. They looked so much better. I think Centennial's gotten healthy. They've got almost all their guys back. I think they're playing better than ever, and I do think this is going to be a closer game. I still give an edge maybe talent-wise to Arborview. It's hard not to with what they've done this year, but I think Centennial is going to be more game this time around.
I agree with you. I really think this is – I mean, Paolo Gorman is the game of interest of the night, but in terms of pure, you know, equally close game on the field down to the wire – I think it's really going to come down to Arborview Centennial as that game. I really think this game's not going to be decided until whoever gets the ball last.
Centennial and Arbor?
I really think
they're going to score that much?
I don't know if it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be like a 19-17. I think it's going to be real close, nip and tuck.
Yeah, I think it's going to be low scoring and close. So that's why I don't know if having the ball last, you could stop them.
Well, you could. It reminds me of last year's Centennial Palo Verde game, where Centennial was ahead virtually the whole time, and then Paolo came late and beat him. I really think this game's a coin flip, and I'll give you my pick later, but I think that if Kobe Newton opens the game up with the run, I think Centennial's going to be able to pass a little bit, and I think that makes him pretty dangerous. And you got to remember, Centennial's loaded with talented kids. They've got one of the from top to bottom – there's a few programs that are just elite at every step of the way. Arborview is one of them as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, Arborview has to be one too.
But I think Centennial, if you look at all three levels, might have the best combined record of all three levels, in my humble opinion. And I don't know what they did against Gorman on JV or freshman, but I'd be interested in learning that if somebody could text me or put that in the comment section. And I hear the eighth grade Centennial team, and I know this because I know my youth football is loaded. So if they keep a lot of those kids, they got a chance.
Interesting.
Just food for thought.
Yeah, Kobe Newton, you mentioned, will be a big key to the game. He's been really good down the stretch.
And your boy Lance Worthington takes one to the house seemingly every game. I think he's going to be the fastest player on the field.
Yeah, that could help. I mean, we talked about it last week, but they should have a special teams advantage. I like Kobe Newton and think he's done big things, but I think running-wise, you got to give the edge to Arborview with all the guys they have. Yeah.
And here's the
I'm
thing.
I'm actually not sure if Norman's healthy again. He wasn't in the Palo game.
Every week, Arbor rushes for 400 yards, and every week they got six or seven guys.
It seems like they're a different leader every week.
Yeah, and there's guys that I haven't even heard of. Last week, I talked to Coach Barnes, and he mentioned a kid, Salah, something or other. I'd never heard of the kid all week.
Salah Boyce, maybe?
Boyce, yeah. I'd never heard of the kid all year.
Have you seen them yet?
I haven't seen them.
I bet he has second or third most carries.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and we thought when, you know, Arborview was going to experience a little adversity, you know, they lost their quarterback in the offseason. He moved to New York. Their top tailback ended up not being on the team. And all of a sudden, you know, they're plugging away, and that's a sign of a true program. And I know that we've said this before, but if you look at Centennial and Arborview, and I've been by to both schools in the summer, you go into those weight rooms, Case, and there's 100 kids in there lifting. It's the same thing when you go to Gorman, right? So why is it every year, you tell me, you're a smart guy, you're smarter than I am actually, why is it every year that the Sunset, the Final Four, is Arborview, Centennial, Gorman, and Palo Verde? Every year. What are they doing
different?
Well, this
is only like 3 years now, right? I mean, it's still that's
3 years in a row, the Final Four.
No, it's very significant, okay. But we shouldn't say every year. Okay, when I first came here, Arbor and Centennial weren't much until last
But why
years.
Is the Final Four these four teams?
They've built the best programs, have the best coaches, work the hardest. I mean,
numbers and what they do in the off season. Every time I go to these schools, there's kids there lifting. And then if I go to another school, the number of kids that are in the summer off-season program, it's right there. It's like the formula to have success, it's there. Why is Green Valley good all of a sudden? What is Green Valley, Case, doing different than other teams? Well, they got eight very good coaches on the varsity. I mean, super organized. Oh, and what? They had 50, 60 kids every day in the weight room? Hello. I don't care how young they are. It's that easy, in my humble opinion. I don't know much. Everybody knows that. I'm just opinionated. I speak sometimes the truth. If you guys listening think that this is a little outrageous, some of the comments I make, you should hear when we talk in the newsroom.
I don't think this is outrageous, though.
Okay, I do make a little sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty much the same thing I said when you asked me the question.
And I saw Legacy on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I think that they have a chance to be good for a lot of years down the road. They do a lot of, they have a lot of the same similarities to Arborview. Ton of kids in the program, but their kids are a little more athletic than Arborview's. Pull up that Legacy roster for me while we talk. I got to give a shout out to one kid.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. Very, very interesting. But let's move to the Sunrise region. We had a reader poll last week. Which team do you think will win the region? Green Valley, Liberty, Basic, Canyon Springs, or Coronado? And I think our reader spoke. It was either Green Valley or Liberty. Went back and forth, but about 500 of you guys voted on the reader poll. So we appreciate your feedback. And I'm going to ask you now, Case, who wins the
Liberty? 164-102. Oh, Coronado is second. Coronado 102 in second. Green Valley in third with 101
votes
as of right now. Yeah.
Let me see. That's crazy. So 457 of you guys voted. Liberty 164, Coronado 102, Green Valley 101, Basic 54, Canyon Springs 25. Canyon Springs has got the best player in DJ Pumphrey, who may be a little banged up. And I at one point thought they were going to play through to Thanksgiving weekend. Now it's like I think they got another 4 days. how times have changed.
Yeah.
But very interesting. Who do you think's going to win? I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Well, I think you got to go with Liberty as the favorite. But I think all these teams have a chance. I was out at the Coronado Basic game, and a great game. Another one. I guess I've gotten lucky in recent weeks. A bunch of really good games. They both looked very good at different times. Basic goes up 20-0. Looks like Coronado can't stop them, and then Basic can't do anything the rest of the game. Coronado wins 24-20, and I got to tell you, it was a very cool environment to be in. Because as you probably know, Coronado hasn't been good since what, 2004 or something.
Yeah, 4 or 5 is their last.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a huge celebration that they were having a home playoff game. I was trying to get back to do the phoners, and our buddy Coach Brad Talich just insisted that I had to come into the locker room and see the Cougar Buddies program, which was really cool. They sang the school song, and they all had their little buddies on their shoulders. Those kids were as fired up as the team.
And that's
they're clearly building something special over there.
And
I
that's
think.
Taken a playbook from Vegas High, the whole Cat Buddy system that Chris Sinkovich started in the early 2000s, and Vegas went on to be a dynasty. Well, you're drumming up some community support. You're keeping a lot of kids in that area on the team. And Coronado, I don't know if that translates into – I think they'll beat Vegas this week, but they'll probably meet their match in the next round. But
– that's an interesting game because you said that, and Talich has to go play Vegas.
Vegas.
Where he's learned all this.
Well, yeah.
Or spent years at least.
Yeah. Well, I think Vegas's run of glory is quite frankly, unfortunately they're on the back end of that run.
But to get back to your question, I would have to say Liberty is the favorite, but not by much. A lot of these other games, a lot of these teams have played each other, and I got to tell you, if they rematch, I might go with the other side. Like, if Coronado played Basic again tomorrow, and I hate to say this after I've made so many friends at Coronado, and I've loved talking to all their kids.
You went to their banquet last year.
But I would pick Basic again.
Okay.
Because to get shut out for Coronado did great things. They bared down. They played defense when they had to win. But Basic was moving the ball in the second half. They just kept getting to the red zone and getting shut down. I really feel like Basic probably outplayed them. Coronado just was, better in the clutch. You really bared down and got the win. I'm pretty sure if they played again tomorrow, I'd pick Basic.
Would you take Coronado if they played Green Valley again?
Yes. Remember, that's what I meant. I'm going to probably take – because Coronado was up like 21, right?
19 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the only thing is I think Green Valley's gotten a lot better, though, too. So
interesting stat from Jason over at Green Valley. The Gators have given up 13 fourth-quarter points this year.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. You could make an argument that Green Valley should have lost to Coronado, Canyon, and Basic, and that they're a year away. But instead, they rallied late, won all three of those games, and now they're the one seed in the playoffs. I'll be 100% honest with you. I've picked against them every week this year in big games. I've been wait till next year on Green Valley over and over again, and they keep proving me wrong. And now, I quite frankly, I don't know what to say. I don't know if I'd like Green Valley against Coronado. I really think you play
probably a second-round game, right?
Yeah, you play that game 10 times. I think each team wins 5 times. I mean, look how close it's been. Coronado lost to Green Valley, beat Basic. Basic lost to Liberty by 6, right? Coronado barely lost to Liberty, right? I mean, all these teams are equally matched. It's like hoop, right? Remember basketball for the Sunrise region? Foothill, Valley, Canyon Springs. And then who wins?
Green Valley
out of nowhere. They get hot. I tell you right now, it's a 3-game tournament. Whoever gets hot is going to win the whole thing. And let me tell you, the coolest thing for these kids is when they come in after practice and they go into the locker room and it's getting dark, because you know how it gets dark like around 5 o'clock now, mm-hmm. and basketball's practicing and they're coming in still on their football pads. Playing in November when it's dark and cold is a privilege and an honor. And we've got a great Sunrise tournament, Kiefer. I mean, we could handicap this until we're blue in the face, but I wouldn't be surprised if a team we don't think is going to come out is going to come out and win this thing. I mean, maybe DJ Pumphrey gets hot and Canyon wins it.
I think this is the best one, but I think it's a little bit different than basketball, because basketball, I really feel like last year, if we were setting odds on it, there was no runaway favorite. I still think you got to make Liberty the favorite here. I think Liberty is a big favorite.
I thought Valley and Hoop was as good as Liberty is in football right now.
I didn't. I don't even think they're the first pick when we drafted.
You're thinking Liberty. Let's do that again. You're thinking Liberty of the last 2 years. This Liberty team is not the same.
Do we want to do a draft again?
Let's do a draft.
Well, I should get the first pick because I'm saying Liberty's a big favorite.
Okay, let's
do a draft.
Can I get
Liberty and
you
can get
the
next two?
Do you got a pen or anything?
I'll write it up here. Someone might delete it. Or I'll write it on my iPad.
Your iPad. Okay, we're going to do a draft. Four teams are going to win the region, Sunrise. Go ahead. You're going to get two of the best four teams.
No, I get to take only one first, and you get two and three.
Oh, I get two and three?
Yeah.
Oh, that's huge. Go ahead.
Because I'm obviously
take your first
Liberty
pick.
Way ahead of everyone.
You're taking Liberty?
Yeah, Liberty's my first pick, clearly.
Okay, I'll take Green Valley and Basic.
Wow, even better. So I get Coronado with the fourth pick.
And I got Canyon Springs. I got three
great
teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
I probably should have thought about taking Canyon Springs there.
See, Springs! But no, I got Basic and Canyon, so I'm only going to have one team left.
So you have Green Valley,
Basic, and Canyon. You got Liberty, Coronado, and whoever you want.
Oh, wait, but wouldn't it be since I was the first pick, when it came back to me after you got two, I should get two?
Okay, go ahead.
So I would actually get Coronado and Canyon in this
Okay,
design.
You get Coronado and Canyon. You're right. Okay, so then I got Basic, Green Valley.
And I don't think anyone else has a chance.
I got Foothill. Listen, don't count out the Falcons. I know that they're the four seed, and I know that Doc Stater's out, but they score points with the best of them, and they're playing a Green Valley team that they always play close with, that they've had a good history against, and this is a young case. Listen to me. This is a young Green Valley team that has never been in the playoffs before. This is a Foothill team that's won a playoff game the last 3 years. And the fact that they score. If the ball bounces Foothill away, I think they have a chance. They'll probably even cover whatever spread. I take Foothill, you have Vegas.
No, you get Silverado or Vegas. You get two picks in a row. You get to pick who you want more out of those two.
I'll take Vegas just because if they somehow get through Coronado, they'd get killed by Green Valley.
Okay. I'll take Silverado even though they're going to get absolutely destroyed in the first game.
Okay.
Have no chance.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a better chance to win this than I do. But
I don't know.
We'll see.
I think Green Valley was the easy second choice. I was just surprised you went Basic over Coronado.
Could we see a replay of Henderson Bowl Green Valley Basic in the championship game?
See, that's the down part, I guess, of if you're a big Henderson Bowl guy like you, you probably wanted Basic to beat Coronado.
I know that common logic says take Capelli and Nacua, but I'm telling you that Liberty hasn't been the same up front this year, and that's their strength, is that they move people around. I also know that Liberty has been saving a lot of stuff for the playoffs and that they're pretty fired up. So who knows what could happen. Let's get to the picks. Or do you want to go to talk about the Division 1A? Or do you just want to talk about them?
Sure, we can talk about the Division 1A.
We're real professional here, folks. We plan out our show ahead of time. But Cheyenne, could you believe that Cheyenne and Moapa Valley are the number one seeds for the playoff? Both of them, even though it was close last week, Cheyenne gets past Boulder late. Moapa Valley fends off Mojave. Both of them went out, and now a coin flip decides who goes and plays Truckee. Moapa wins. They get a home game in the Southern Nevada, beautiful Saturday sun, against a team they've beat Lowry 3 years in a row in the playoffs. Meanwhile, Chi-Town has not only got to go to Northern Nevada to play, they've got to get on a bus to drive to Northern Nevada, and they're playing Truckee, which is in California. So that's a heck of a drive. Oh, it's going to be 25 degrees or whatever it is, according to Keith, who sent us the email from there. It might be snowing. How many of those Cheyenne kids have played a game in snow before? Zero.
How many of them been in snow other than maybe the one time it snowed here?
Zero.
Yeah.
Right? Cheyenne just had a coin flip away from maybe winning state, literally. A coin flip away from winning state. And this goes back to my argument 2 or 3 weeks ago. The Moapa Valley people monitor scores from the north. They know what they need to do to win. Cheyenne, they're just like, well, who do we play next? They have no idea. They might not even know that Truckee's not in Nevada. They're playing a California school in the state Nevada semifinals. And let me ask you this question, and maybe Lake Tahoe guy knows the answer. If Truckee beats Cheyenne and Lowry somehow beats Moapa, is the championship game going to be set next Saturday at Gorman? Are we going to pay to have the two teams from Reno come all the way down to Vegas to play?
That's a real good question.
That doesn't make sense.
Lowry's not beating Moapa Valley, though. in my opinion.
It was Moapa Valley. Definitely wasn't the Patriots, the New England Patriots last Saturday. Mojave gave them a game.
Speaking of that, can you finally give Mojave some credit?
Mojave,
all
shout out.
I've been telling you they're
shout
awesome.
Shout out to Mojave. They fell behind 16-0. They didn't fold up. They played great. Mojave's got a lot of young players. I think they're the Cheyenne of next year, that they're going to win that league. Shout out to Mojave. And I think Moapa Valley needs to get a mirror out and look at itself in the mirror, because they have played and beaten virtually nobody this year. They beat Pahrump twice. They killed Virgin. They killed, well, maybe Virgin, Boulder's a good win. But a lot of their wins came against lesser opponents. They're scoring 45 points a game. Their ones are coming out at halftime. Mojave forced them to play a full four quarters. And I tell you why Mojave had a little success, because they have speed and athleticism. And Moapa Valley, that is a weakness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Moapa Valley beats Truckee, to be honest with you. And I've never seen Truckee play this year. But Truckee
did lose this year to Fernley, and then they got even this weekend and beat Fernley.
Fernley. Well, did you know that Fernley's located – or no, Fallon. I once went to Fallon, Nevada, Case.
Uh-huh.
I got two traffic tickets speeding on the way there.
An
embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate Reno. Everything with Reno. It's a dog pit.
I've said all year, Moapa Valley is going to win the state championship. I think
they got to play better.
I think they're going to beat up on Lowry, and I'd love to see him play Cheyenne, but I think it's going to be Truckee, and I think they're going
to
beat Truckee.
I would love to see Milo Lewis against Connor Mortensen. What a dream. And if Cheyenne somehow survives the trip to California to win this game, could you imagine how tired they're going to be the next week? It's like, I want to know, somebody let me know, when and where was this coin toss and who witnessed it?
Someone witnessed it, I'm sure.
But where was it, and who was involved? Because I remember, it's either way. Poor Cheyenne, that's all I got
to
say.
All right, well, let's get to the picks.
Let's get to the picks. Let's start with the Division 1A.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's what I was going to try to say.
Got it, kid. We're on the same page.
All right,
baby.
I think I already just said it, but Moapa, Lowry, and Truckee, Cheyenne. I already said I like Truckee to beat Cheyenne. I just think this is one of your little soapbox things that I think is actually true of how hard it is for these teams to travel up there where it's cold. I think Truckee wins, and I think Moapa wins big against Lowry.
I agree with everything you just said. I think Moapa is going to make a statement that they're the team to beat, and the games at their place on a Saturday, why not? Cheyenne, God bless them. It's going to be a long, cold bus ride home.
That's for sure. All right, the Sunrise region, I guess. First game would be Green Valley hosting
Foothill.
Help me out. Foothill, right. I like Green Valley to roll here.
I like Green Valley to win, not to roll. I think, go back to my initial argument, a lot of young players in the playoffs for the first time. A Foothill team that, quite frankly, is playing with house money. It's been a bad year. They've lost a lot of key players to injury. They still score. That offense still produces points. And they have absolutely nothing to lose. Also, they run a similar offense to Green Valley. They've seen it every day in practice. Maybe they have a chance to stop it. Green Valley wins, but I think it's going to be close. It's not going to be running clock. It's not going to be blowout city. It's not going to be put in the JV team. It's going to be a real tight football game.
All right, I don't see it. I think Green Valley will win big.
We could agree to disagree.
Yeah, we will. Next game is Canyon Springs hosting Basic. This was a playoff game last year when Canyon Springs won the Northeast. Basic went up there and won big. Do they do it again?
Last year, we assumed that Canyon was just going to kill Basic. Basic got in as the four.
Actually, not. I picked Basic in that
game,
I think.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah,
well,
I assumed
Canyon was going to win. Listen, Canyon Springs... a shock for me that they're the two, even though you kind of thought they weren't going to win the league. I just think that they live to see another day. Somehow they survive in advance. This Basic team should have beat Green Valley, should have beat Coronado, should have beat Liberty. All their losses could have been wins. For some reason, they're just not closing. They're not getting it done. And I think Canyon somehow lives to see another day. DJ Pumphrey, who missed a lot of last week's game against Vegas with an ankle injury, I think somehow he's got to rally it together and get the Pioneers to victory. Antre Johnson, Devontae Boyd from Basic. We know how special they are. I just think that this night is going to belong to Pumphrey and the Pioneers, and somehow they make amends for last year's loss and they get through. I don't know how they're going to do it. Smoke and mirrors, but I'll take the Pioneers.
All right, yeah, last year's game, not close at all, 42-21 Basic.
And Basic threw the ball on them like they were playing a flag football game at the park.
You actually picked it to be close, 28-19. I picked 27-22 Basic. Just interesting looking back. You said if Canyon Springs can contain Las Vegas' Pharrell Victor, what will they do against Vegas? And I said it wouldn't surprise me at all if Basic was playing Liberty for the Sunrise Championship. Well, they could this year.
No, because they'd play next week. Because Green Valley's going to play.
I meant they could play in the playoffs. Yep. Yeah, not the Sunrise Championship. Yeah, I like Basic in this game for the second straight year. Here's what concerns me. Like I said, Pumphrey, unbelievable. I think he's the player of the year, although everyone seems to argue with me. I forgot I have to give a shout-out to your friend who gave me the lowdown on all things Basic, Christian, on the Basic sideline.
Nice. That guy's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he knows everything about Basic. He thinks that—
Is he on the team, or is he just on the sidelines?
I didn't ask him.
Okay.
I think he's associated in some way, but he thinks Devontae Boyd is the player of the year.
Yeah. Apparently—
I mean, I like Devontae Boyd, but come on. Like, Basic is still going to be all right with Antre Johnson. Canyon Springs, not all right with DJ Pumphrey.
Yeah, Canyon Springs is a middle-of-the-pack team at best next year without DJ. Apparently, according to Christian, Devontae Boyd's got a chant before each game about how Ray Brewer disrespects them and doesn't pick them.
Oh, really?
So at least this week it holds true, because I think I've picked Basic every week except the Liberty game this year.
Christian gave me the insight that Devontae Boyd and Antre Johnson, the 1-2 like best players on Basic, they consider themselves brothers. And they want to go to the same college together.
So that means they're both going to go to UNLV?
I don't know. I mean, if
Devontae's got offers from Duke.
Does Johnson have offer from UNLV yet?
I don't think yet. His only offer is Utah State, which has offered both Boyd and Johnson. But I'm almost I know that the Basic coaching staff is trying to convince him to go to UNLV. Why wouldn't you go to UNLV? Devontae Boyd, Devontae Davis on the wings for the Rebels. Nick Sherry throwing the rock, that great running game. It's a dream situation. That kid, if he goes, don't
this
roll your.
UNLV a dream situation. This is probably the first time.
You're going to play as a freshman, and you're going to catch 40 balls as a freshman. You want to go to if you want to go to the NFL, which every kid wants to, and you're Devontae Boyd, do you go to Utah State? Or do you go to UNLV?
Well, I've heard his dream is to go to a big school, like BCS conference school.
It is. He wants to go to LSU, where he's from Louisiana.
I heard he wants to go to LSU or Oregon.
Okay, I'm telling you, he ain't LSU or Oregon. But you know what he is? When he starts playing football full-time and he puts a little muscle on and Nick Sherry's throwing him the rock for 3 years, he's getting paid. He's going to the league. Dude, I'm telling you right now, he could break UNLV passing records if he goes to UNLV. That league is going to – the Mountain West, after Boise and San Diego State leave, is going to be a very easy league to navigate. Devontae could play right away as a freshman. Why not go to UNLV, in my humble opinion, as a UNLV grad?
Well, no, I don't necessarily disagree with why not go to UNLV. I just thought the dream situation, when the kid has been very clear that his dream is to go to a big school,
I don't think
it's his dream.
I tell you what, go to if say LSU came in and offered, and you could choose between LSU playing in front of 100,000 people, top 10 team every year, or UNLV, and you're a wide receiver, why go to LSU? They cannot throw the ball. Dude, you're going to finish your career with
Zach Mettenberger just threw for 289 yards against the team that leads the nation in pass defense, run defense, and total defense.
First time in 3 or 4 years LSU's thrown the ball.
That's because they had Jefferson and the other guy. Who they have before that? Flynn, who's in the NFL
all
now.
I'm telling you. How many wideouts are at LSU? There's 12 guys he's got to wait behind just to get on the field at UNLV.
That's true. That should be your argument. Your argument shouldn't be that they can't pass, because that's not true.
They passed one time. Kiefer, I hit a parlay the other day. Now all of a sudden I'm a good handicapper? I suck.
Do you want me to call up their stats right now and tell you how many times they've passed successfully? You're only thinking of when they've played Alabama in the last 3 years. They've had two bad passing games.
LSU cannot score. Look how many points they scored this year.
Look how many LSU wide receivers are in the league, and look how many UNLV receivers are in the league.
Well, UNLV started seven of seven different quarterbacks the last 8 years. Now we got Nick Golden Arm Sherry for the next 3 years.
If LSU plays UNLV tomorrow, LSU would pass for over 400 yards.
No doubt. LSU's a lot better than UNLV. Is Devontae Boyd ever going to play for LSU? No. He's got no chance. Go into the next
game. How did we get into this based off of Devontae Boyd? And my final thought on this game.
You're picking basic.
Yeah, right? I'm picking basic. Big reason why is Pumphrey got hurt last game, right? He's going to be back, they say. But I also heard someone say it was a high ankle sprain, which I don't know if that's true. But if it's a high ankle sprain and you're coming back in 1 week, that's not going to be right. It's not going to feel right.
All I know is I watched DJ Pumphrey score five straight against Green Valley. Starts and stops on a dime, and this is his last stand.
For sure. You know how much I love Pumphrey, but if he has a high ankle sprain.
He's putting I don't care. Tape it up. Put a flag in the ground. You're DJ Pumphrey running against basic.
Have you ever had a high ankle sprain? It's not that easy.
Bro, I know you've got an ankle sprain
right now. I have a high ankle sprain right now. Maybe his isn't as severe as mine.
You're Case Kiefer. This is DJ Pumphrey.
Is there something not in your head? You can't run with a high ankle sprain.
Well,
what's his name? In the NFL, guys don't come back for 4 weeks for a high ankle sprain, and they shoot him for a cortisone.
Well, maybe we should have called and figured out before we got on the show.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, John Schofield for basic is in the running for one of the hardest hitters.
He is a good player. I agree with you.
In Vegas, that guy just, man, he hits hard. And once Pumphrey, if he already has a high ankle sprain, feels John Schofield hit him. I don't think he's going to be the same.
I do worry with my Canyon pick that those DBs are going to say, oh, boy, here we go again. We got to try to stop. I mean, Boyd had like 10 for 200 against those guys last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that mentally Canyon could be beat.
All right, so I like basic. We'll move on to the next game in the region. It is probably an easier one that we won't spend 10 minutes on. Liberty and Silverado.
I like this game because Liberty and Silverado were rivals in the old Southeast. They split the league up with realignment, and they don't schedule the game. I think this game still has some regional interest over in the Silverado area of Las Vegas. And I think because of that, even though Liberty, yes, should win big, I think that Silverado might keep it a little closer than you think, but I still think Liberty prevails by at least 20-plus.
Yeah, I like Liberty big. I say this every week with some team, but I think this is kind of a representative of why we didn't necessarily need – a bigger playoff. I mean, Silverado, what'd they go this year? 4-5, maybe? And lost very big to a few teams. I think Coronado just destroyed them. They had one other pretty bad loss. So I don't necessarily love the Silverados in the playoffs. I think Liberty wins big. No. All right, final game that we have to talk about is
Coronado-Vegas.
Coronado-Vegas. This is another game where I think Coronado is going to roll here. That Coronado offense, I got to tell you, we talk about teams that are well coached and do things well. Coronado, I feel like, may have talent-wise, and I know they're banged up, so it's maybe not fair me judging them off their last game, but talent-wise, I think they're pretty far down the list of teams in the Sunrise, but it's so hard to prepare and keep up with that offense. They're running the no huddle. They're inventive. I think they do some more creative things than some of the other teams in town. I think Coronado's a tough matchup for anyone because of that, and I've got the Cougars.
And I think they're well organized. That's the big key there.
Yeah.
Sunrise region, Sunset region.
You didn't even say who you're picking.
Oh, I'm picking Coronado too.
And Coronado defensively, like I said, bared down, got done what they needed to do. A bunch of playmakers on that defense. The Kieran Eisler kid did a pretty good job on Devontae Boyd. He still had a lot of yards, but did a pretty good job. And I got to give a shout-out to Wyatt Bartell, linebacker.
And I think Coronado might be the hot team right now.
They are, for sure. They got momentum and all that stuff. Sunset, first we'll do Arbor and Centennial.
I think we differ on this game. I think that Centennial is the better team this time around. I think they pull a minor upset. I know that Arbor kind of dominated them that first game. I think Centennial gets it done, though, on the road in my kind of upset alert of the week. And you'll be at the game to tell me how wrong I am.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're that wrong. I could absolutely pick Centennial here. I'm not going to, but mainly that's just because I picked Arborview to get upset, 2 weeks ago against Palo Verde, and they proved me wrong.
Barely.
I don't want to give them a chance to prove me wrong again. So I think Centennial, to me it seems like Centennial has improved more since the first time they've met. But that also improvement might just be because Arborview is a little bit more banged up now and Centennial is a little less banged up. But I got to go Arborview. They were so dominant the first time. I think they're going to find a way to win this time at home.
And I listen, that's a great pick. And it's two good teams, and it could go either way on Friday. I don't think either of us would be shocked if Centennial won. The same could be said for Arborview.
Yeah, absolutely not. Just the Centennial offense, and I think I said this last week, just seems inconsistent to me. Some weeks Turley is just on and slinging the ball around and playing well. And some weeks they can't complete a pass. They can't complete a screen pass.
And I saw that one. They went to play when they played. They hosted Paolo. Granted, it was early in the season, but they were shut out for basically 2.5, 3 quarters before they scored late to win the game. The next week they go to Durango. While they win 31-0, it took them kind of 3 quarters to get going. So I could definitely see your argument where it's a feast or famine with this offense.
Yep. All right, Gorman Paolo. I think you, everyone listening knows that we're not going to pick against Gorman. We think they're going to win big. But do you still feel confident in your plus 31?
Oof, I really don't. I think that it's just Gorman has such an elite quarterback and offense. And it's
and elite running back.
Elite running back. And, you know, last year when I talked to Coach Rost after the game, after they lost to Gorman, he made a good point that it's the same guys every year when you line up against Gorman. You know, last year he mentioned, you know, we faced Ronnie Stanley and Ron Scoggins and 3 years in a row. Well, you face this quarterback now 4 years in a row, this wide receiver 4 years in a row. I mean, to say that you've played in this game four times, that's unheard of. To play varsity 4 years at Gorman to start, that's – I just don't – it's unreal. I mean, say what you will about Gorman, but the fact that they have this dynamic offense, they're going to score whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want.
I agree, and I think defensively they're going to make it tough on Paolo. I think they've shown some improvements.
Yeah. Lastly, a matchup I'm looking forward to. Do you think Paolo puts Ryan Bouye on Ryan Smith?
Is Smith their fastest guy?
Smith is probably their fastest guy, and they're both about similar height.
Because Tillman's having a huge year, so they might put Bouye on Tillman, right?
Whoever Bouye's not covering, whether it be Smith or Tillman, is going
to have a big game. Yeah. Makes sense to me. But don't they have the other Bouye too?
Calvin?
Yeah.
I don't think
he doesn't play defense.
Yeah. Jake Ortal, I think, is probably one of the best juniors in town. I mean,
yeah, he's a really good player. He made a ton of tackles in the Arborview game.
Obviously, Starks and Antre Johnson are in that conversation, and probably Starks, obviously.
Starks
is
one,
but I think Ortal's top five. I mean, that kid looks great defensively, and he caught, like, for 100 yards at tight end. I mean, if we're giving out two-way performers on our all-sun team next year, we can make an argument for that kid.
Worthington Jr., too.
Yeah, your guy.
Yeah.
Your guy. And Lance, we trust. Folks, thanks for listening to Case and I. It's playoff time, and guess what? We're gearing up for Hoop 2, and we love your feedback on Twitter, at Case Kiefer, at Ray Brewer 21. We love your comments, and we've had a great year, and we expect Friday night to be one of the best nights of that year.
For sure. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.